talk to the end? Not listening. How about don't talk at all? And then you say what God says. And you say it, and you say it, and you say it, and you say it. And guess what? You keep saying it. You're going to start tearing down those lies yourself. You say it, and it's more powerful to you believing it than anybody else saying it. That's why when we do a real deliverance and we really hit a lie, the devil won't even let that person say the truth. But the minute that we pray and we command that thing to be bound in Jesus' name and we ask that person to come up and declare what they believe, the minute they speak truth out of their mouth, that thing loses its power. Whoa. Phew. Like some chicken thing or something. Do you see what I'm saying? Satan knows there's power in your words. Satan knows the Holy Spirit lives in there. There's power in their words. He knows it. He's so afraid of it. He'd rather you empower his words. He'd rather you empower his words. He'd rather you empower his words with your fear. Let's see what else. I'm going to pray for some of this. Where did I put my notes? I only had a few more. Is everybody getting this? Really get it. I know the devil's saying, yeah, but you always think you get it. Say, devil, I'm not who I was, and I'm not who I'm going to be, but I'm going to believe God. So I'm not putting up with you talking to me anymore. Lord, punish that devil for tormenting me. Who does he think he is? I can't wait to see him go to hell. I hope he gets the punishment of Satan. Father, give him the punishment of Satan for talking to me after he knows I don't believe him anymore. Isn't it amazing how fast you can tell somebody you don't like, I don't believe you? Why don't you quit liking them? All right, I think I'll have one more. Let me see. 1 Corinthians 1:28. Let's see what this is. Oh, this you'll like. Start at 27. Let's go up to 26. Let's go on up. Let's 1 Corinthians 1, verse 20. Verse 19. All right, verse 19. For you know how hard it is for me not to preach from the beginning to the end, but that would take too long to cover a topic. I don't preach like this that often, actually. All right, 18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those being lost, but to us being saved, it is the power of God. I want you to see something really quick here. There is a transformation in what your mind agrees with when you accept Christ. Before Christ, it is foolishness. And you have made fun of born-again believers and fundamentals. And how could they? How many in here? Now, I was only 7, so I can't say that. Well, I guess I made fun of them until I understood it some, but not a whole lot. But how many could honestly say that they really thought born-again fundamental believers were totally messed up in how they thought? Raise your hands. And most of those are the intellect people who had some intellect issues. You know, they made total fun of that. How many now agree with that? Okay, what you did when you got saved, you changed what you were believing. Now, why can't you change that about everything that the Word says? Kurt and Justin, y'all should be up here front and center so I can talk right at you so your ADD things won't be going all over the place so we can get your minds free so you can move in all God has for you. When you know that you get distracted easy, that's a good time to get up where you can't be distracted. For the word of the... I know them really well. If you're new, I don't usually yell at people right off. I usually know you at least a week or two. And nobody around here cares because they're really trembling in their boots back there running up here. Be quiet, though. All right. For the verse 18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those being lost, but to us being saved is the power of God. For it has been written, I will destroy. Now listen. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will set aside the understanding of the understanding ones. God wants to destroy the wisdom that you had before Christ. He wants to destroy the wisdom that you had when you dealt in reasoning and facts and figuring everything out. He wants to destroy it, okay? He wants to destroy it. Many of you got saved, and it's funny that you let go of that thing enough to find Christ, but you're still miserable in many areas of your life because you have not allowed the power of the cross to destroy the wisdom that you've had before Christ. Why? Because you built that wisdom on rejection, and you're afraid that if you let go of that, there won't be anything good about you. So the minute that the whole idea of letting go of your intellectualism, of really letting go of your facts, of really letting go of the wisdom of this world, the minute that I go in to try to plunder that by the power of God, the minute that I walk in and try to plunder that, you've got alarms going off, security systems going off, and everything else, because rejection's going, no, 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 no. You know, what do you mean you're not being able to, look how smart you are. You know, of course, you know, watch out, whoa, don't go there. And then, man, next thing I know, you turn on me and you think I'm mean and talking about all this stuff and blah, 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 blah. Let it go. Let it go. Hate it. Hate that you used your mind to feel better about yourself and you touched what belonged to God. Don't you think God's going to do more with your brain than you are? I want my brain anointed. Justin, that was not the appropriate time to laugh. So for those of you who didn't think you had any education or had any wisdom, now we're talking to the back table. You didn't miss out on anything. You should be able to enter into the things of God more easily. Except for you bought some kind of lie that you can't because of rejection. Because you're living fleshly lives, and then you feel rejected when God doesn't let you enter into his presence, or you have lies. And once again, that rejection that comes up saying you're not good enough hits you. You're not good enough for God to let you feel his presence. You're not good enough for God to use you. You're not good enough for God to give you revelation. That's just as bogus. That's just as much a lie as the person who thinks they're too smart. To need the presence of God more than their intellect. It's all the same. It's all lies. It's all wrapped up in Satan giving you a lie about your mind and having claims on your mind, whether you think you have a brilliant mind or barely get by mind. Either way, you've got to take it away from the enemy's use and give it to God. And then be amazed at what God will do with it. He goes on. Now listen to this. God says, by his power, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will set aside the understanding of the understanding ones. You need to mark that down. It's another thing for you to really pray about and get free from if intellectualism is an issue with you. If using your mind for facts, if using your mind to keep you out of the kingdom. This is for all of us to some degree. That's why we're not free. That's why we're not just flowing into things of God and not even thinking about what other people think about or anything else. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the lawyer of this world? Did God not make the wisdom of this world foolish? God is not impressed one single bit with intellectualism. He is not impressed with their facts. He is not impressed with their reasonings. He's not impressed with what they come up with. You know, God thinks it's awesome when a medical doctor or scientist or someone like that gets born again and saved and gives their mind to Christ, and then God can use that for my great and mighty things. But God's not at all impressed by the people using their own wisdom and the wisdom of the world to feel better about themselves and to make for themselves an identity and a name. You know why he's not impressed? It would be us looking at the smartest ant in the entire universe and that ant thinking how great he is. When we're sitting here going, oh my gosh. Oh, excuse me. Can you not see God laughing? Absolutely rip-roaring, falling down off the throne, laughing at men on the earth who think they're so smart. How foolish is it for you to worry about money if you really know who God is? God owns everything. He can go fishing. We got our tax bill for $3,000 today. So at the offering, be generous. They're not even supposed to tax me because I'm a church. But the spirit of greed over the city doesn't seem to get the light bulb that the God I serve is bigger. So I will bless them. Aha. And I will rejoice greatly as I bless them. Because it's putting coals, hot coals on the heads of the people in government who come up with this ridiculous stuff. Go ahead, sock it to God if you want to. I mean, Jesus went fishing and caught a fish and paid the taxes. So if everybody goes fishing this weekend and you have get a $3,000 check in the fish's mouth, please bring it here. I know that this is what it's for. But if somebody in here gets $3,000 more than they were expecting, or even part of that, why don't you ask God, am I the fish? And this is the substance? Because he's going to pay it. But I'm just blessing, praise God. I'm not going to take out a loan to pay this. So I'm really believing God's going to use you guys to pay it, or somebody, or somehow, and he'll show us how. And I want you to rejoice greatly if he chooses to use you to be the one who catches the money. Isn't he cool? Like, he's just really worried about that old tax thing. But I'm thinking, oh my gosh. You just don't understand. We war in the heavenlies. We don't war against people. But whatever spirit of greed is attached to this city, it's coming down. One way or another. Got to bring it down. But we're just supposed to bless those who despitefully use us. Bless them. And we're supposed to rejoice greatly. So we're going to have a $3,000 let's raise the money party. Who cares? And he's going to pay every single bill. Because the enemy can't close you down with greed if there's no greed in your heart. And God's got greed out of my heart. So I have authority over greed. So God's just going to keep blessing us. It's amazing how great it works. Get the greed out of your heart. Get it out of your heart. Get it out of your heart so it doesn't destroy you. All right. Now, that's where we're at. Verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom did not know God, God was pleased through the foolishness of preaching to save the ones believing. And since Jews ask for a sign and Greeks seek wisdom. I need to deal with this because I think I asked for a sign sometime. I don't know. God's been showing me some things, but we'll talk about that later. We, on the other hand, preach Christ crucified, which is an offense to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. But to the called ones, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolish thing of God is wiser than men, and the weak thing of God is stronger than men. The foolish things of God is wiser than men. When God moves in signs and wonders, when he has me do that new sign and wonder thing he has me do, which is like cartoon characters going berserk, I don't know. It honestly is a sign and wonder that God is taking authority over the wisdom of the world. It's a spirit to let loose and let God use you like that. Really takes dying to reputation and dying to intellect. Whoa. And it's really weird. It's weird when God does it. But there's a place of fear of the Lord that says, Lord, this might not be popular. This might make people leave. But if we have to break the powers of intellectualism over your church and over this area and over our own lives before we can see real revival come, then so be it. Whoa. So the foolish things God uses to say, in your face, devil, you've lost. You can't hold this person by intellect. You can't hold this person by fear of man. This one belongs to me. I can do whatever I want with them. And in that I have so much, I'm going to use my authority and power that I'm going to give to that person to completely destroy what you've done.